Robin Hood Radio presents Agriculture from Tucana Farms. Here's Mark Scherzer.
Last weekend, when I told Peter I had just had my second dinner of the week in the city centered on lamb's quarter, wilted in olive oil and garlic over pasta, he suggested that maybe I really enjoyed such meals for reasons other than the intrinsic merits of the main ingredient. He said, "I don't think you really like lamb's quarter as much as you claim to. You've just convinced yourself that you should like it." In his view, my avid consumption of this weed is a sort of culinary political correctness run amok. I should point out, to be fair, that Peter eats weeds. We share in common a passion for purslane, and he too occasionally cooks and eats lamb's quarter. It's just that he doesn't indulge in the latter with the unbridled enthusiasm that I profess. I must confess, too, that I at times have harbored similarly uncharitable views of Peter's food tastes, indulging assumptions that were in some way an inverted mirror of his. When I first met Peter, I had never eaten an oyster, and though I had tasted lobster, I could not understand why so many people loved it. The lobster seemed to me to have barely any taste at all, save for the butter slathered over it, and the oysters seemed to me disgusting, slimy, slithery globs. Nobody could really enthusiastically like such foods unless, in my view, they had somehow been brainwashed to like them. A taste for such food represented to me a triumph of culinary status symbol over objectively good taste, and perhaps reflected a residual ancestral distaste based on Jewish dietary laws my family had left behind just a generation ago. I eventually became convinced that oysters are more than an edible status symbol, and that Peter's taste for them, though perhaps also influenced by his upbringing in Wales, was founded in objective flavor merit. He initiated me into oysters by cooking oysters Rockefeller rather than serving them raw, and coaxed me into enjoying lobster, too. I traveled a short road from initiation to appreciation. Now, for example, our trips to New Orleans, where oysters are fresh, cheap, and ubiquitous, could be mistaken for oyster orgies, where a dozen Roy oysters on the half shell for each of us at lunch might be followed by oven-roasted oysters and a piquant sauce for dinner appetizer. In contrast, while he does occasionally cook and serve lamb's quarter, Peter has not come to share my wild enthusiasm for the plant. He doesn't mind having it as a vegetable course, but he sees it as a second-tier choice for spring greens at moments when no spinach is available. And he persists in questioning whether I really have the avid taste for it I purport to have. His questions have not exactly caused paroxysms of self-doubt, but they have made me think about what the elements of my taste are. Is there a romance of lamb's quarter that influences my sense of taste? Lamb's quarter, also commonly known by names such as pigweed and a half dozen other colloquial names, is not a particularly beautiful plant. It grows seemingly everywhere in large clumps or singly, with medium green leaves that have a grayish-silvery cast and gray undersides. As they mature, the leaves get kind of a powdery surface. The plants eventually reach shoulder height, becoming at that size quite tough to extract from the ground. To most people, they are more or less undistinguished members of a larger category of plants they just dismiss as weeds. There are reasons lamb's quarter is so ubiquitous. A single plant can produce 75,000 seeds. It seems to thrive in any type of soil, is drought frost resistant, and according to a blog called The Herb Hound, its seeds can be viable after remaining dormant in the ground for centuries. It's part of the goosefoot family, which also includes beets, spinach, and Swiss chard, other favorite vegetables of mine. It's sometimes called wild spinach, as the young leaves and stems are cooked in the same manner as spinach. It's high in nutrients, but also in oxalic acid, so should be eaten in moderation, a caution which Peter reminds me I do not always observe. When I first researched its origins several years ago, the common knowledge seemed to be that lamb's quarter was a European import brought by colonists as a pot herb which escaped and went wild. The consensus now, however, is that while it is of Euro-Asian origin, there's evidence that it was important to pre-Roman Scandinavians in the Neolithic age, it must have come to the Americas before the European migration. Archaeologists have found that Blackfoot Indians were storing the seeds of lamb's quarter around 1500 AD. Whether the use was primarily culinary or medicinal is not clear. According to Herb Hound, In Europe, during times of famine, the seeds were boiled to make gruel or baked into bread. It's rumored that Napoleon's troops lived off this gruel or bread for some time. Many Native American tribes have used the leaves to prevent scurvy and for stomach aches. The seeds were used at times to expel roundworms, and a poultice of the leaves has been used for burns, swellings, inflamed eyes, and wounds. The leaves have been bruised and applied to those suffering from heat stroke, headaches, and dizziness. The leaves were also chewed to relieve toothaches. Leaf tea was used for arthritis, rheumatism, and stomach pain. The crushed taproots have been used as a mild soap substitute. Is it this exotic, romantic past that I'm eating? Is my enjoyment enhanced by knowing this history? I don't think that's the central element, but I have to concede that factors other than flavor do influence my enjoyment. For one thing, enjoying a plant unappreciated by so many does give me a feeling that I'm partaking of some insider pleasure, outsmarting the rest of the world whenever I eat it. And maybe even more important than feeling like I've privileged insider knowledge is, I think, the humble and coarse nature of the plant. It may be a lot like spinach, but it is coarser, and its less liquid texture means it doesn't cook down to such minimal, mushy servings. Retaining more substance than steamed spinach, it feels more appropriate as a main ingredient, as, for instance, a topping for pasta-based meal, or the base for a dip, as I've seen recommended online. I somehow imagine the plant as something a 19th century Sicilian peasant would have foraged, and indeed I forage it here at the farm, often in the course of doing something else highly useful, like weeding the vegetable garden, making weeding a doubly productive task. So yes, Peter is a little bit right. It's not the intrinsic quality of the flavor alone. That flavor is enhanced by my imagining that I'm sharing the meal with foraging peasants. I revel in having a secret pleasure that most of the world doesn't appreciate, and I take considerable joy at getting something good for free. But to my mind, all these factors together still can't fully explain the appeal of lamb's quarter for me. To the extent that we can ever separate the foodstuff from our cultural construct of the food, it is, in my opinion, also objectively, intrinsically good, a pleasure of the season. And I encourage you all to try some, too.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Tricana Farms, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Tricana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of turkey. And his third hat is Tricana Gallery of Old and Antique Kilims, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website? TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com, or 518-537-3815.